You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Talking sleep stats now. Sleep when you lie to me. Are you well refreshed, ready to take on your Monday, Jordan?
Yeah, well, what are the sleep stats? Are they showing what the best times are? What are these? I don't know what they are.
Science is always busy taking statistics on stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've discovered how you can have a more uninterrupted, better sleep.
Oh, I see.
How do you rate yours on a sliding scale of 0 to 10?
I would say I'm a good sleeper.
Yeah, Jordan's a snooze. What? You're a solid 7, do you think?
Yeah, 7. I could potentially push up to an 8 or a 9, maybe even a 10 if I've had a big day.
Do you snore?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Unclear.
No, I'm almost confident that I do. I've never heard it myself.
Where does the confidence come from?
Just other people have said. I've said, Jesus, shut up.
Yeah, me or me both. Mm. All right, so a PhD doc, Christy Hoffman, has done some statistics on the sleep.
Okay.
Asking people about their sleeping habits. Some surveys been done showing that there is a certain way to sleep, or you should be sleeping, you know, you should share your sleeping space with certain things in order...
Is one of the certain things a bed?
Yes.
Because I find that is important for sleep.
That's right. Yeah. So... obviously, the bed's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Pillows are good.
Blankets are also rather useful.
Oh, are you rolling with the sheets? Actually, is your mattress on the floor?
No.
Oh, really?
That's no surprise.
You've got a frame.
You don't live on the floor like an animal. Really?
No, well, like, people, gentlemen your age, have been accused of doing the mattress on the floor.
I did do it for 12 months a while back. But no, yes, no, I simmer, I do. Breaking news, I have a bed.
How good.
So what are these stats? So what have they said? What do you need to do to improve your sleep?
57% of people. So these are the stats in regards to pets in the bedroom, mm-hmm. right? So 57% of people are sharing their bed with another human.
Yep.
55% with a dog. This is out of the survey, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And 31% sharing the bed space with a cat.
31% with a cat.
Mm.
Almost one in three people
out of this. Survey, yeah.
How many people were surveyed? Like 3?
No, I think it's about 2,000.
Oh, 2,000. One out of... Decent. Okay, that surprised me. I didn't think that many people was... Oh, there you go.
So out of those 3, which one are you backing to have better sleep? Human being.
I would say cat.
Doggo or a cat?
Because human beings like me can snore.
Yeah.
Simo, you know that I don't have a pet dog. I never have. But from what I understand, they can tend to fart a lot in their sleep.
Right.
Cats less so. I mean, maybe they can, but you can't imagine a cat farting, can you?
Well, the study highlighted that those that shared a bed with their pup were more likely to go to bed earlier and get up earlier, as well as a dog's sleep pattern closely coinciding with a human one.
Okay.
So...
is that coinciding more than another human? A dog's sleep cycle is closer to a human than sleeping with another human.
I'm just telling the news.
You're just reading the facts.
The researchers explained, compared with human bed partners, dogs who slept in the owner's bed were perceived to disturb sleep less and were associated with stronger feelings of comfort and security.
Okay. That makes sense. I get that.
Great news for dog owners, not so much for cats.
Why is it not... If you sleep with a cat, you've got the underlying feeling that the cat is plotting something against you.
Feline friends were also found to be associated with weaker feelings of comfort and security than both humans and dog bed partners.
So what happens if you sleep with your partner, maybe you've got a pet dog and a pet cat, and they're all in the bed?
Someone's got to let you out of the zoo enclosure.
Yeah, that's a good...
That's what needs to happen there.
Who let the lion in as well?
Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, we want to talk about otters.
Oh, the little guys with the little hands. Have you seen their little claws?
Yes.
That they've got?
Yes.
They like Mr. Burns, you know, when he's like, excellent.
Burns does look a bit like an otter now you mention it. I didn't realise that before.
Character development.
When they're trying to create the character of Mr. Burns, they're like, I'll make him as otter-like as possible.
Yeah, the guy in the graphics art department.
I know, Simo, the otters I want to talk about are actually, they're named after their claws, actually, you mention it. They're called Asian short-clawed otters.
Yeah, because they're, you know, Their claws are, they blow the mind because they've got, I think they do have opposable thumbs, the otters.
How do you know this much about otters?
I think we visited them when I was younger at Australia Zoo.
Yeah.
So, and I think that I was listening at the time.
You weren't listening for anything else.
Well, in a
apart
lot
from
of,
the otters.
A lot of life I haven't been listening, but that trip to Australia Zoo, I think I was.
Well, Simo, the otters that I want to talk about in question, as much as they're Asian short-clawed otters, they do both live in the UK, so there's two of them.
They're on holiday?
No, this is their home. They have moved there.
Okay.
One's called Pumpkin, one's called Harris. Now, they were living at separate, like, sea life centres in two separate towns in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
However, both of their partners, long-time partners, actually sadly passed away.
No.
So they're both back on the market. They're both single.
Yep.
And so Harris, which is one of their names, who had been living at the Cornish Sea Sanctuary.
Okay.
The owners and caretakers of that sanctuary decided to set up an online dating profile.
Awesome.
In order to try and attract another otter. They called this fishing for love. And Simo, it worked.
What do you mean?
It worked.
All right. How did it work?
Well, keepers at another sea life centre saw his dating profile, which described this otter as a very good listener who loves to cuddle and was the perfect match for an otter that they had called Pumpkin.
Yes.
Who had also lost the partner.
Yes.
So they thought, hang on a second.
Hmm.
Otters naturally live in pairs, as Simo, you would know, being an otter expert, apparently,
yep.
So they decided, okay, this could work.
All
and
right.
Then they've got the two otters together.
Back up. So the dating profile.
Yes.
It was on an existing otter finding love website.
Well, that's it. I don't know. It's not clear. I doubt that it's going to be like Tinder. You're going to be swiping through getting girl, 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 otter, girl, girl. I doubt that's what happened.
Yeah. And also the popularity of this app, because are they the only two otters on there?
Well, look, I would certainly, if I was looking to book advertisements in an app, I certainly would go for Facebook, because that would have more traffic as opposed to an otter dating app.
Fishing for love?
Fishing for love is what it was dubbed. It was called.
Okay.
I don't know. Surely it's not an actual thing.
There's not other human beings in there, like other animals. Like there's a giraffe. There's a koala.
Look,
like that'll never work. You're just too tall. I like eucalyptus leaves. You like the leaves that are higher up. Maybe this.
I'm normally up a tree.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And we're headed to the gym. You ready to work out, Jordan?
Will Kanye West and Daft Punk be there?
Maybe.
I feel the answer was no.
I can't make any promises.
They could be there. It'd be one in a million.
So, you haven't been in a while?
Where, to a gym?
Yeah.
No.
You ever carried a membership to a gym?
I did.
Did you really?
I think I still got the tag on my keys, actually. I did have a gym membership, which I used, I think, about 3 times in the first week, and
wow.
Then never again.
Yeah, well, it's good that she got amongst it there for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I had 3 intense sessions on the
treadmill.
No, what's the one where you slide back and forward?
Oh,
the rowing machine.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go quick?
No.
Okay. How many meters did you cover?
That was a good 7.
Okay. Well, it's 7 meters that you haven't covered in a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of 7, there's a 7-year-old girl who is smashing records in the deadlifting industry.
Okay.
In the deadlifting sport.
Is deadlifting like the one you see at the Olympics?
Yeah, pretty much. It's
okay.
I think the technical terms involved there is the snatch, the clean, and the jerk.
Yeah, there's very innuendo-y names.
very poor names.
I know. Weightlifters, I know you're strong, but like, come up with better names.
So, her name is Rory Van Oeft, and she... That's the sound I make when I lift.
I know, I was going to say. You beat me to the joke, I was about to say that.
So,
do you reckon, I'm assuming if she's 7, her parents are deadlifters as well. Was the dad just lifting weights when they're like, what should we call her? Rory Van Oeft.
Well, apparently not. Mum apparently hates it.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess it doesn't necessarily, it's got nothing to do with genetics. She has smashed the under 11 and under 13 youth national champ. Well, she became the national champion of both grades at 7 years of age over the weekend. She's only been weightlifting for 2 years.
So a national champ, so she lifted the most weights or the heaviest weights?
Heaviest,
or?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. How heavy do you
Oh, yes, I do. So so there's the three stages. So the snatch is the first stage where the weight comes up like from your knees.
Yeah.
And then she lifted 32 kilograms there, clean and jerk 42 kilograms, as well as a squat lift of 61 kilograms.
Yeah, I love that you started explaining how it all works and you very quickly realised you didn't know.
Well, I wanted to get to the ones that not even I can do, which is she can deadlift 80 kilograms.
Wow.
Hot damn. That's like...
I don't even know what deadlifting is, but 80 kilograms, wow.
Deadlifting a Jordan, right?
Yep, maybe. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, so she's 7. I mean, I don't know what the average weight is of a 7-year-old, but I would assume not 80 kilograms.
There she is there.
So she can lift her own weight.
Mm. So her mum went on to say, when she first started, I hated it. Mm. It was so scary watching her lift those heavy, heavy things that I could barely lift. Now I just look at her and think, I'm so proud of you. She's really cool and she's doing amazing things. So she started in gymnastics.
Wow.
And then thought, there's a lot of injuries that happen if you don't get fit. Mm. So at 7 years of age, she's like, I'm going to hit the gym. And now look at her, Jordan.
Oh, you've got a picture of her on your screen. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow, no one's going to be messing with her at the schoolyard lunchtime.
X going to give it to you.
I mean, that's going to be, it's like she comes up asking for your lunch money. You're like, yeah, here you go. Take it. It's fine.
It looks like she's got some temporary tattoos going on.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
So, Simo, you are the one out of the two of us that goes to the gym.
She'd kick my ass.
Okay, well, that answers the question that I was about to ask. Can you lift more weights than a 7-year-old? And the answer is no.
What a boss.
I know.
Anyway, we wish her luck. Rory Van Oeft.
Yeah.
Here she comes. She's got how many kilograms has she got this time, Jordan?
Are we being weightlifting commentators now?
Yep.
And here is Rory Van Oeft. She's got 80. I've turned into a golf commentator. I don't know how. She's got 80 kilograms, and here she goes. Van Oeft!
Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, this caught my attention over the weekend. It's a hotel in the UK that has kind of come up with a bit of a marketing spin, a bit of a marketing idea to drive more business.
Oh, it's a ploy.
It's to do with the checking in process at a hotel. Normally, it's quite straightforward.
Yep.
However, at this particular hotel, they are making guests complete an escape room challenge before they get access to the key that will unlock the door to their room.
All right. I'm into that. That's cool.
Also, Mano, you're the escape room expert here out of the two of us because you've done one and I haven't.
No, I think between the two of us, I don't think we've done one.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you had.
I wanted to. I would really enjoy being trapped in a room looking for clues on how to escape.
Okay, well, let's just go back a couple. Let me rephrase.
Yeah.
Simo, you're the escape room expert out of the two of us because you want to do one of these.
Enthusiast.
You're an enthusiast.
There you go, better.
Okay, there you go, I'll call you that. Whereas I don't even really know, what are they? I don't really know what they are.
So on a basic level, instead of going...
I've gone straight to, I'm explaining it to Jordan. Basic level.
Layman's terms. Instead of say...
There's a room with four walls.
Have you ever done a maze?
On a piece of paper? I mean, yeah, but when I was 5.
Yeah, what about a hedge maze? Did you ever upgrade?
Oh, where you physically... I don't think I have, actually.
Yeah, right. So you're not into it. So, but like a maze on paper, similar concept. It's like a brain tease and you're trying to escape.
Okay.
Just in an escape room, instead of trying to find your way through a maze, you're trying to find your way through a set of clues, which then give you the correct key to unlock the door.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that does sound kind of fun.
Hmm.
I have no idea what the clues on this particular hotel room would be.
Right.
I did just get a bit of a giggle out of the fact that... You're a hotel. Maybe there's someone who, I don't know, English may not be their first language. They might not be very good at speaking English and thinking, I'll go to the UK for a holiday. The Clockwork Hotel, this is called. This looks very nice.
Oh,
I'll book this.
Utterly scary.
Rock up to the hotel after like a 10-hour flight of like babies screaming. You didn't sleep. You kind of lost your bags. It was delayed. All of the joys of air travel.
Yeah.
You've rocked up as like, oh, I'm tired. I just want to get into the hotel, have a nap, and then I can go and enjoy my UK holiday.
Mm.
And then you rock up to the hotel and it's like, okay, wonderful, you'll be in room 201. Your keys are on the other end of this escape room, and then they just push you in. You're like, oh, is this a UK custom? I hope it's not.
I like the idea that maybe every room's got an escape room before you get to the... before you actually get into the hotel room?
I think it's just one escape room and then you can go and access all the rooms.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how big this hotel is. If they all had to have rooms and then separate escape rooms next to it.
It's kind of like the entry point. Like the instead of having a lovely open plan kitchen, you got a lovely... you know, escape room.
You open the door to your hotel room instead of, like, having a nice corridor where you can hang your coat and put your bag. There's an escape room. That would get really annoying if you're staying there for a week and it's like, oh, I left my phone up in the hotel. I'll just go pop back and get it from the room, and then you have to try and work out the clues before you can get into your room.
There'd be a couple of people picking up, you know, minimum wage because they're, you know, just hanging out to make sure that someone's present at the front desk.
Mm.
And part of their duties on the Monday morning is just going through all the escape rooms to just check if the cleaners made it out.
is that a natural thing?
What do you mean?
Well, the cleaners, some people working there get stuck.
I don't know.
In a weird way, I hope it is.
I'm making it up, Jordan. I don't know.
It's like, you did 3 hours overtime on Saturday. Yeah, I got stuck.
I got stuck in the escape room.
I would have thought they'd given the cleaners like a list of like, okay, here we are. Like, but no, they didn't, fair enough.
Yeah, you can imagine it happening.
Good advertisement for the escape room, though. Not even the cleaners can escape.
Actually, yeah, you go and you book one, and there's someone already in there. You're like,
it's like, who are you? It's like, oh, I've been trapped in here since last Tuesday.
I've been in here for hours.
Or like, you're at this one at the hotel, it's like, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, my flight was a week ago. I'm lost.
I've been living off the paper in this bookshelf. I've been vegetarian for a week.
I probably should have read the paper in this bookshelf because it's probably a clue, but I ate it instead.
Speaking of which, if you are going to do an escape room, don't be one of those people that collects all the clues and then puts them in a pile. That's poor.
Is that what people do?
Yeah, some people, because different people's brains work differently.
So what should you do? Just look at the clues, leave them.
That's right, yeah. Notice where all the clues are.
Leave nothing but footprints. Take nothing but the knowledge you have gained from looking at the clues.
Because what happens is a lot of time the clues are in an order.
Yeah.
Right? If you take them out from their spot and then collate them all on a table or put them all in the center of the room, you won't necessarily know which clue
came first.
Correct, and comes after the next one.
Right.
Because you've taken them from their spot, and then you've got to try and remember where it was that they were taken from.
You can be even more of a tool as well by just getting all the clues and then just making them into like an arrow shape and pointing them where you need to go.
Yeah.
As I make them an arrow shape, it's like, there's the door.
Jeez, I really want to. I reckon you and I would not do well. I don't think you and I in an escape room.
Yeah.
I don't think we're getting anywhere near the record.
Simo, I could not agree more.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan, and did you cut yourself a thick slice of bacon this morning?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, when was the last time? So what was breakfast this morning?
Just a bit of toast.
Oh, yeah.
With no bacon, unfortunately.
You're very traditional with the toast.
Thank you, I think.
There's not a lot of ways to get too crazy with the toast.
Well, I mean, you haven't seen me make toast.
Yeah, my uncle, he toasts the toast, right? Toasts the bread. And then
in the traditional way.
And then he's bizarre. He'll make sure that it starts to burn or get a bit of blackness to it. And then
isn't that what toast is? Just bread that's sort of slowly starting to burn and then we take it out just before it's burnt.
Yeah, and then do you eat yours hot or cold?
Yeah, hot.
Yeah, he eats it cold.
Okay.
After scraping it down.
Scraping it down?
Yeah. So like when it's black, like I'm talking burnt.
Oh.
And then he'll scrape it down and they'll be like, ooh, yes, lovely cold burnt toast. Okay. I don't know, he feeds off it.
Yeah, that is a bit bizarre.
When was the last time you had bacon, though, like a real full-on brekkie?
Probably over the weekend.
Nice. Did you do that? Was that breakfast out or was it at home?
No breakfast at home. Do you love a bit of bacon? Everyone loves, well, not vegetarians, but everyone other than vegetarians loves a bit of bacon.
How do you cook it?
In the traditional way.
Which is what?
A frying pan.
Yeah, but method?
I put it in the frying pan and put the heat on.
How early? Oh, is it in the fry pan before you turn the heat on?
Why are you asking me so many questions? I cooked bacon. It's not rocket science.
Well, it turns out it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, it turns out it's not.
So, no, it is, Jordan.
No, it's
have a bit of respect for the bacon cookers of this planet.
I have much respect for bacon. It is delicious and the people who cook it.
Yeah.
But, Simo, it is not rocket science. You put it in a pan or an oven and then you come back when it's cooked.
Yeah, but do you get more out of cooking bacon on a day-to-day basis than rocket science?
What do you mean?
Is it more important to you?
Well, on an average day, is it more important to me?
Is cooking bacon more important to you than rocket science?
Look, I mean, I'm not flying any rockets.
That's
at
yes.
any point in the future.
Yeah, that's yes. So therefore, it is more important. So
I can guarantee I'll be eating bacon sooner than I'll be traveling in a rocket.
Listen up, bucko. Have a bit of respect.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
So Chef Jeff Baker. He's obviously
so close to bacon.
He obviously knows.
If the actor Kevin Bacon wants to become a chef,
he knows the kitchen. Does Jeff Baker? He's even cooked for.
I love the fact his name's Baker and he became a chef.
Yeah, he's.
So it's close.
He's cooked for the Queen.
Okay. So he's a top chef.
He has shared the utmost best way of cooking bacon. Now
right.
he suggests that the pan. You need to ensure that it is hot
mm-hmm.
and like ready to basically cook this thing as fast as you possibly can rather
okay.
than put the bacon in and slow heat the fry pan.
Right.
It will ensure that you have minimal grease and it will also lean on the side of the crispy bacon.
So did you say this chef, he's worked for cooked for the Queen?
He's cooked bacon for the Queen, yeah.
So this is how the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen, likes her bacon.
With a punchy flavour, because apparently if you cook it quickly, that's how you trap all the flavours in.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, I mean...
There you go. So don't stop putting the bacon in the pan before it's hot.
Yeah, but then you have to wait for the pan to heat up, and that's time, Bacon is delicious.
This is why you're not a celebrity chef, because...
And there are many reasons why I'm not a celebrity chef.
None more so than this reason.
Well, I think the fact that my cooking ability stops at, like, bacon and frozen pizzas, that's probably... You're not flicking over to see Gordon Ramsay and going, okay, now you take the pizza and put it in the oven. It's like, that's not... He's doing something with truffles or mushrooms or something.
This is why, A, you're not going to be flying any rockets anytime soon, or cooking... the best bacon that can possibly be produced.
And I think it is a wonderful thing for society that I am not flying rockets nor cooking you bacon.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.